fellow campers. I am Dr. Amber, known on the internet as Dr. Fun Sponge, and this is another campfire edition of The Civic Flame. For those of you who don't know, The Civic Flame is a podcast where we take a deep dive into the Constitution and discuss how it is, and is not, shaping contemporary politics. Our campfire sessions are when a major legal or political issue comes out that we want to get you some more context for. This week is an I told you so episode. Why? Because Twitter just released a geography / location feature, and guess what? I was right. A lot of that right-wing MAGA sphere stuff online was coming from bot farms. If you missed where I told you so, we did a 3-part campfire series on bot farms and rage farming and how to protect yourself online just a few weeks ago. So you can check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on behind all of this stuff and maybe give you some ways to make that Thanksgiving table a little bit spicier. Buckle up, because we're going in. If you missed parts 1 through 3, the key points are that bot farms come in 2 forms. One is the machine learning kind of stuff that drives your Google search, or when you're shopping, you see those you might also like in the sidebar. Sometimes annoying, sometimes helpful, mostly harmless. The stuff we're talking about today is more what we think of as generative AI, like ChatGPT or other types of algorithms or computer programs that pretend to be people. In these bot farms, there are hundreds or more computers all dedicated to fake accounts, fake posts, posting fake news, and generally gaming the algorithm to look like they're more important and more popular than they actually are. This does something called astroturfing. You know how grassroots movements are from the ground up? Well, astroturfing is pretending a movement is the grassroots movement when it's not, right? AstroTurf is fake grass. If you think of back to the global financial collapse of 2008, you saw real grassroots movements like Occupy Wall Street develop from a genuine anger, not just at Wall Street, but at the government for bailing out Wall Street and not Main Street, the effects of which many communities still feel today. Well, the AstroTurfed version was the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party was a movement funded by billionaires like the Koch brothers who wanted to take legitimate anger, T stands for taxed enough already, and redirect that towards social issues and minorities and away from the billionaires who actually are not taxed enough. These broke people, who were rightly taxed enough already, should have been out on Wall Street demanding that Wall Street and the Koch brothers get taxed. Let's put that on a bumper sticker. Get taxed, brother. Because they are not taxed enough. But instead, these people got hoodwinked into working for the Koch brothers by making sure the billionaires didn't get taxed. Bot farms work the same way. They create fake news websites and stories and then share, like, or follow them across different levels of social media, giving the illusion that they are popular and, you guessed it, grassroots. The other thing that goes on with these bot farms is rage farming. These companies learned that rage bait increases time spent online. They increase likes, it increases shares, and it maximized profits, particularly from advertising revenue. This is something Facebook learned firsthand when it handed Donald Trump the 2016 election. It's important to note that right before the 2020 election, Facebook turned off its user maximizing features, and fake news got buried under the real news, and fake people got buried in favor of real people. But when the money went down and the user engagement went down, Facebook turned it right back on just in time to help Russian and other bots plan the January 6th insurrection against the United States government. Interestingly, many of these kinds of protests were planned by someone abroad, making these websites, particularly on Facebook, starting a protest. They'd reach out to real people in the area and say, "Oh, I'm sick. I'm not going to be able to make it there this weekend. Can you run the protest for me? It's already there. People are already going." So the real person in the area shows up, and it looks like it was naturally occurring and community all along, when really the flame that lit the candle was a bot farm somewhere far away as part of an effort to destabilize the United States. So much fun. And this brings us to today's points. You see people looking around at all the hatred and all the divisiveness on every continent and start to wonder, is this the end times, just in time for Christmas? And I get that. There are a few dozen people in the world who fit the description of the Antichrist. I'm of the opinion that there's more than one Antichrist, but that's an ecumenical thing you'll have to sort out amongst yourselves. But the one thing I know for sure, as much as this looks like the end times, this is not the rapture. It's the algorithm. These companies are deliberately constructing narratives, including fake news, fake accounts, fake events, fake people, to keep users and advertisers on their platforms. Interestingly, they try to rope in as many real people as they can, or they try to take pictures of random people and use those as faces, so that if you were to do a reverse image search, you would get Susie from Cleveland, not some random person sitting in a shack in Macedonia. YouTube is genuinely awful about this. During the 2016 election, YouTube algorithms drove people not only towards content that would keep them engaged, but content that was harmful. It drove them most often to things like Alex Jones and conspiracy theories, and even towards pedophilia content. Check out the Behind the Bastards episode on how YouTube became a perpetual Nazi machine. Even when searching for something informative, it would produce things that were negative or incendiary. Studies found that people looking up Hillary Clinton to learn her policies were sent immediately to anti-Clinton pages because that maximized user engagement, and not just a few, but tens of millions of people. And given that she won the popular vote by 3 million votes, that's kind of crazy. Likewise, people looking for movie reviews were sent to the most incendiary reviews that said things like, Star Wars is trying to replace white men, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe is no longer the MCU, it's the MSHEU. And this sends people down these manosphere, really misogynist stuff, the great replacement white supremacist theory rabbit holes. Why? Because it kept eyeballs on platforms. Is it worse to radicalize people because you genuinely believe hateful things, or because you don't care and you're doing it for profit? I lean on the second one, but they're both bad. It's a race to the bottom. Now, of course, this is not going to radicalize everyone. That's how they get away with it, the plausible deniability that we didn't radicalize people, we held up a mirror. Even at the same time as they go tell their advertisers, we can shape what people do online. But it does radicalize enough vulnerable people. When the world went into lockdown, this only got worse because people didn't have real folks to keep them in check. They started making online communities around these shared interest groups, spending more time on these media platforms, and going down these rabbit holes. But what I've been saying for a while, what others have been saying for a while, and most importantly, what these tech companies have known for a lot longer than all of us, is that a lot of these actions are, in some cases up to 60% of them, bots, not real people. Why did tech companies not do anything if they knew? Because if they got rid of the bot farms, then they would lose users and advertisers, and people might spend less time engaging with their content, and then they get less money. So it's not the rapture, but it might feel like the end times. Not for the salvation thing, but for the profit of a handful of a few jerkwads. If companies like Twitter and Facebook already knew this, why would Elon Musk have just made such a fuss about the geolocation feature and drawn so much attention to it? There are a few possibilities. One is that Musk actually has no idea how the world works. He might have just thought that those people were real, that there was an equivalent amount of fake news on the left as the right. And the reason there's not has nothing to do with morality and everything to do with the fact that a lot of this is funded by right-wing billionaires that are funding all these bots and these farms. It's also possible that Elon Musk genuinely believed those people who ate up his rhetoric were real people when they weren't. Narcissism is a heck of a drug. Then there's the Epstein files or the Doge breakup reason. This is meant to draw attention away from the big news stories by pointing out something people deal with on a regular basis. Don't pay attention to Doge collapsing. Don't pay attention to the Epstein files. Look at how many fewer friends you have on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, because they were all bots. Honestly, any and all of these could be the real reason. What is interesting to see is how people will deal with it. Our legacy media has been horrifyingly negligent in covering any of this for more than a few seconds at a time, so it's possible people just won't even know or care. But I like to think it will ruin a few people's holiday. Okay, so that's that for me. In the meantime, the Civic Flame is taking a Thanksgiving Day break this week. We'll be back in December with some more content for you on Articles 2 through 7 of the Constitution. Take care out there and keep the Civic Flame burning bright. This has been a Campfire edition of The Civic Flame, a Dr. Fun Sponge Media production with creator Amber Veo and sound producer Matthew Munyon. Thank you for listening.